Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Paul had this to say in Romans chapter 6. He asks and answers a question, and I think it's a question that many of us ask. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And that is always a question that is brought to the table when the gospel of Jesus Christ is mentioned, is talked about, is proclaimed. Because when you talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you talk about the fact that he took away sins once and for all. Forgiveness is available to those who receive him. And to all who do receive him, they receive forgiveness of sins. Yes. And then there's this burial, and then there's a resurrection. And when folks just simply see the gospel as forgiveness, and they hear that forgiveness is theirs, then the question arises, what are you saying? Can we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And here was Paul's answer to that: by no means. That's not what this message is all about. It's not a license to sin. It's not a free pass to do anything you want. That's not what the gospel is all about. It's about death, burial, and resurrection. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through faith, it becomes our death, burial, and resurrection. And that's exactly what Paul says. By no means, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were placed into his death. So his death took away our sins. His death fulfilled the sin debt that we owed. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We were stuck in an old way of life. We were sinners. We were lost. We were dead spiritually, separated from the life of God. That's who we were, and we followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was that old way of life. But through faith in Christ, we die to that old way of life. We bury that old way of life, and we're raised to walk in a new way of life that is guaranteed to us, that is provided to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Christianity, when you understand it in these terms, you realize that it's not a self-improvement program. It's not a behavior modification program. It's dying to the old way of life and being raised to walk in the newness of life. That's radical. That's revolutionary. That is something that takes a while for us to really process and understand what this gospel is all about. But I know, Richard, you've spent a lot of years thinking about behavior modification as the way of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. It didn't work, did it?
It didn't work at all. Well, it worked on the outside, and that's what's so dangerous about it. Outside, people thought I was a pretty nice guy, but inside, it was anything but. And I physically couldn't live with the lie. Something had to give. Either I was going to throw God over completely and out with the trash, or something was going to change. And you know, I thought I was finally angry enough to commit the unpardonable sin, and God said, you're finally asking the right questions. You know, I was completely upside down. And so I had to get out of that behavior modification mode. I had to stop trying to please a God who was unpleasable, try to be perfect in something that I had no ability to be perfect in and had no business being perfect in. It's either all Jesus or it's nothing. And that's what Paul's telling us. If you want to deal with the sin problem in your life, come to Jesus, be buried with him in his baptism, die to sin, come alive in his resurrection to the newness of life, and everything will change.
Everything will change indeed. I know for me, you were in behavior modification, and I had a similar experience, but I did it under the umbrella of self-improvement.
Yeah.
You know, I need to become a better person. And with God's help, I can become a better person. So whenever I struggled, whenever temptation was there, whenever I gave in to sin, I'd say, wow, I still need some help. Lord, I still need you to make me a better person.
Help me.
That's right. That's right. So my prayers were not, based on what the Word of God has to say, but simply cries for, Lord, you know, you're supposed to be helping me become a better person. All I really wanted was self-improvement, but that's not God's thinking.
No.
That's not God's plan. He wanted to put an end to the old way of life so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what resurrection is all about. And maybe you're listening and you're thinking, well, I'm just looking at Christianity as self-improvement, or I've just been involved in behavior modification, trying to get the sin out of my life, and I'm realizing that that's not working. It's a frustrating experience. Well, hopefully today you've heard something that resonates within, and you're realizing that Christianity isn't about self-improvement. It's not about behavior modification. It's about dying to the old and coming alive to the new. In Christ Jesus. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. The number to call is 1-800-677-9377. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. So if you have a question about how to live the Christian life, how to tap into the power of resurrection to experience the abundant life that God promised, how to kind of power through that frustration and finally come to grips with what the Christian life is all about, we would love to hear from you on today's program. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's start in Cleveland, Ohio, and talk with Agnes. Hi, Agnes.
Hi there.
Welcome.
I have a question about the rapture.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians 15... 50 to 58 says that I declare you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then, is there such a thing as a rapture?
Well, we're going to be snatched out of here, and that's what the word rapture means. The word rapture is taken from a Latin word when the Bible was translated from Greek into Latin, that word entered into the mix. And there is going to be a snatching away. So when Jesus returns, we're going to be snatched out of here. There's going to be this bodily resurrection. Now, in the last couple of hundred years, with Israel becoming more and more prominent in, headline news and world events and that sort of thing, many people have started to ask questions. Well, are we in the end times and all of those sort of things? And then this idea of the rapture kind of entered into the mix. And so this idea that the church was going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then there's going to be the return of Christ. And that's certainly one way to look at end times. But I think when you read through 1 Corinthians, that's not really talking about the rapture. That's talking about the resurrection of the body that's going to take place. So these bodies that we have now, Agnes, they're going to die. They're going to go into a grave. And at a point in time in the future, Jesus is going to call us out of that grave. And we're perishable is going to put on the imperishable. Dishonor is going to put on glory. Weakness is going to put on power. The natural body is going to become a spiritual body. For those who are alive, when that happens, they're going to be changed in the flash and a twinkling of an eye. They're going to get those new bodies just like that. But this particular passage is talking about the resurrection of the body that's going to occur when Christ returns, when he comes back the second time.
Okay, so if that's true, if that's a resurrection, then just let me know what when I hear stories about that, that we're going to be, well, snatched away, but they say that all believers, Christians, will go to heaven immediately. There's movies about that and everything, but I don't see what would if we went up there as Christians to heaven, what is God going to do? Come down and leave us up in heaven?
Well, no. I mean, when Christ comes back, you know, those that were with him, you know, they're going to come back with him. I mean, he's going to set up his rule, his kingdom here on earth. We're going to be a part of that. Now, we try to lay out those events in sequence in a timeline, and we try to, you know, build the case for our different belief system. I think we just need to rest in the fact that Jesus is coming back. We're going to be with him. We're going to be a part of this kingdom that he sets up here on earth.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right. It's just the Jesus coming back.
Yeah, that's what we know from Scripture. We know he's returning. We know that when he returns, there's going to be this resurrection. There's going to be the meeting with him. And we're all going to come back and be with him forever. That's good news, isn't it? That's our hope, and that's what keeps us going here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a hope. A hope is our only hope of knowing that we're going to go to heaven.
That's exactly right.
For Christians, for our sons who believe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's based on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Agnes. Thanks for your call. We always love hearing from you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Joel, listening to us on WMCA. You're on the air, Joel.
Yeah, so I understand the first death, but then there's a second death, which is in Revelations 20, chapter 21, I think it is, in verse number 8. Can you read that? It talks about the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorts of adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My point is, I'm trying to find out, when did that come, the second death?
Well, this is really at the great white throne judgment. There's going to be a time when the dead are called out, those out of Hades, out of death, they're going to stand judgment before God, and they're going to hear the verdict. And they're going to hear the final sentencing, and then they're going to be thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That's the second death. So that's what makes it final.
Thank you very much for answering my question, and have a nice day.
Hey, you're so welcome. Yeah, thanks for your call. Well, let's go out to Denver and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
And good afternoon to you folks.
And to you as well.
I'm being troubled lately, and I feel that I am a God-fearing person and stuff like that. But my question is I had a conversation with a fellow last night about love, and folks say that we're to love ourselves, number one. And I go, no, 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 you love God, number one. He says, oh, okay, so you're number two. And I go, no, 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 no. You love others first, him and her and her and over there and over there. And I says, I'm number three. He says, you got it all wrong. And I go, no, I don't think I do, but I'm wanting your take on that because I feel that by loving others, giving others love first, it's better to give than receive. And by giving, you are overwhelmed with joy. And then the appreciation, when they return the giving, if you will, you're overwhelmed again. So you're hit with a win-win situation, and I'm troubled about that.
Well, Kenny, I think what you're saying is right on.
Yeah.
I mean, God has called us to first love him, and then as we, you know, abide in that love, remain in that love, to be able to pass on that love to others. That's when we become fully human. That's when we fulfill God's real purpose for us as human beings. When we're in relationship with him, and there's only one way to be in relationship with him, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. There's no other way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So we love God by abiding in him, by trusting in him, by believing in Jesus Christ. That's when we find ourselves. If we're trying to, you know, find ourselves through the things of this world, we're going to lose ourselves. We're going to lose our souls. So
I don't know about the losing of the souls because I didn't grow up spiritually. I didn't learn about the Bible, the God of the Bible, until I was 30 years old. And prior to that, I learned about karma, meditation, transcendental, astral travel, and all the other stuff. And I was content. But now that I've put my faith in God, and then I feel like I've missed something, but my life has been wonderful. And then when people try to belittle me, I almost want to, pardon the expression, sit down and cry and say, what the heck am I missing? I thank you for your comments, and I think I'm on, and I'll continue with that message to others.
Well, I think you should, Kenny, because that is the message.
Yeah, especially with your background, Kenny, the way you just described it, you know the emptiness of trying to self-actualize, of trying to love yourself first so that you can love other people. You know that doesn't work. And
well, I have to
the
disagree
agony is,
with that.
Pardon?
Only because I say I don't have to disagree with that to a degree. I know I just repeated myself a bunch of times, but I don't think I had the self-love. I think I have better love today than I did when I learned all before 1980.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what Richard was pointing out.
Because
you weren't learning
what you know now.
That's
only in
right.
Christ can you know what you know now, and that makes all the difference. So hold on to that, and yeah, you feel bad when people disagree with you so violently, but you know, just pray for them and say, Lord, someday maybe they'll hear and respond.
That's kind of what I did last night. Thank you again.
Sure enough.
Thanks for your call, Kenny. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We do have some open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, the number toll-free here in the United States and Canada is 1-800-677-9377. If you have something on your mind, a question, a problem situation, we would love to chat with you on today's broadcast. So call right now. We still have a couple of minutes before the close of the program. I do want to remind our listeners that today is the last day for our special offer for the month of April, and that's a CD series entitled Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. It's a 4-CD series that talks about resurrection in terms of practical application. There's the fact of the resurrection. That's what our faith is built upon. That's what all of Christianity hinges on. But how do we make that connection between the fact of resurrection and the practical everyday living in resurrection power? That's what this series is all about. It answers all of the frustrations that many of us have as believers and teaches us how to truly tap into the resurrection power that we have in Christ Jesus. So we want to make it available to you. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Just go online to basicgospel.net, click the special offer link, follow all the directions there, or you can call Billy at 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Marta listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Marta. Well, we're going to put Marta on hold, and we're going to go to Robert in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you guys doing? God bless all of you guys. Great show. I love your station.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I got one simple question. I was, I've been doing a lot of study on some ancient texts and everything, and I was just curious why the Book of Enoch. And to me, I feel like since I've been reading the Book of Enoch, it really makes a lot of sense to what's going on today in this day and age. And I was just curious why the Book of Enoch was, like, pretty much not put into the Bible.
Well, Robert, I don't think it met all the criteria necessary to make it into the canon. There's something about all of the books that made it into the canon that are really head and shoulders above every other literature or writing or book that's out there. And I think the early church fathers recognized that. Certainly the rabbis and all of the chief priests and all of that in Jewish history, they recognized what was scripture and what was not, and they did not feel like the Book of Enoch should be in there. Now, I do know I haven't read all of the Book of Enoch. I've looked at bits and pieces of it. It does have some incredible information in there, some things that gives some of the backstory, but it doesn't match the criteria. It doesn't have the supernatural impulses that the rest of the Word of God has.
I just really just feel like it just really completes the puzzle of Genesis 6. You know, we had this one little paragraph about fallen angels and all this stuff, and then it goes into Noah. And it's just like, to me, it's a fascinating how the Book of Enoch picks up from Genesis 6, and you really do get a better understanding what the world was like before the Great Flood. And I just feel like...
It wasn't a pretty place, was it?
No, it wasn't a pretty place, and I think... that's why I think the Book of Enoch is important, because it's more in the line saying, I don't think it's that God was mad at his children for acting badly. You know, would you drown your children in a bathtub because your kid was acting up? I think it was far more cynical what was going on back in those days before Noah. And I think the Book of Enoch really hits home on explaining why God did what he did.
Yeah.
And it, the only thing the Book of Enoch only brought me closer to the Lord.
Well, when you recognize sinfulness, and you recognize the sinfulness of the world back then, it helps to point out the sinfulness that's in your own heart, and it helps you realize the need for a Savior that you have. Without sin, without knowing what our sin is and what our need is, the grace of God becomes meaningless. But when we see what our sinfulness is, when we see what our hearts are really like apart from Christ, then we recognize there's no way to be saved other than by the grace of God, other than the fact that God so loved us that he sent Jesus to do what he did on our behalf so that we could die to that old way of life and be raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, Robert, we certainly appreciate your call today. Thanks for hopping on and talking about this important subject. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard, this was a fun broadcast.
Yeah.
Man, it just flies, doesn't it?
It does. Love the questions.
Yes, indeed. Well, we want to remind our listeners again of this offer. This is the last day for resurrection power for daily living. Take advantage of this. This is a wonderful, wonderful resource. We want to put it into your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And in contributing to Basic Gospel, you help the work that's being done through this broadcast in connecting many people to the love of Jesus Christ. So stand with us, and our way of saying thank you is by sending you this gift, Resurrection Power for Daily Living. Well, now for Richard, for the entire Basic Gospel team, my name is Bob Christopher. We'll see you again tomorrow at this same time.